Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come into your house once again. God, not with the fanfare of Solomon, but simply humble beggars longing for you to reveal yourself and to unleash your power in our midst. God, we thank you for your divine word and how true it is in that day, even much more truer in ours. God, reveal it to us, teach it to us, let us see it for what it is. In Jesus' name, amen. When we open this passage here, one of the things that you begin to see, first of all, is that there is a divine word. Solomon is in his room one night. He's about to go to sleep, and all of a sudden, God speaks to him. I don't know if it was audible or not, but it was louder than that to Solomon. And God says, listen, when I shut up the heavens, when I send locusts, when I send disease, and it's almost like a shot across the bow. Hey, watch out, Israel. There's going to be some tough days ahead. There's going to be some hard times. Everything is not going to be good. Listen, you listen to these TV preachers, and they'll tell you everything's going to be good. You'll never have any problems, and you'll be rich and happy all your life. There's a theological term for that. Baloney. God himself said there's going to be times when life is tough. God himself said there's going to be times when life is dry. God himself said there's going to be times when people get sick. Listen, I believe God can heal anybody, amen? But most of the time he doesn't. And no matter who you are, there is a certain point where God says, no, I'm not healing you. There's tough times. It's a divine word. Aren't you glad that God still every now and then sends somebody to say, hey, thus saith the Lord. Hey, this is what you needed to hear. This is what God's saying. Don't listen to CNN or Fox or anybody else. You better listen to God. Not only is it a divine word, but it's a divine worry. God, listen, it's a warning. It's a warning to people. Listen, when you get on the wrong track and you go down the wrong road and you begin to do the wrong things, guess what? Bad things are going to happen. And God himself says, I'm going to let them happen. Matter of fact, if you read this, he says, I make them happen. Listen, we serve a big God. I don't understand it all. But nothing happens except he says, let it happen. Even bad stuff. All I know is the Bible said all things work together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So ultimately, we'll look back one day and say, yes, that looked so bad, but now, God, I can see exactly what you were doing. It's a divine word. It's a divine warning. But I think for both Israel and for us today, it's a divine wake-up call. Just like those people at the Tower of Babel. Just like the Babylonians and the Assyrians and any other kingdom, the Romans or the Greeks or whoever else you can think of. There tends to be a time of prosperity and upward movement and growth. And then suddenly people begin to turn their back on the things of God. And when that happens, God says there's three things that begin to happen. Notice what he says here in verse 13. First of all, he says, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain. Now, I know some of you are saying, well, Pastor Lee, listen, it's been hot and dry in the month of May, but we're not in a drought of any kind. Surely that's not what you're meaning. But you know what the Bible says in Amos chapter 8? You probably had never read the book of Amos, famous Amos. He says this in Amos chapter 8, behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread nor of water, but hearing the word of the Lord. Listen, where can you turn now to hear the word of the Lord? Where can you go now to hear somebody say, hey, this is what God has to say? Where can you go now that somebody is not ashamed to hold up this book and say, listen, this is the truth, nothing but the truth, so help me God. I read one famous preacher's book, The Best Life Now. The only way that this is the best life now is if you're going to hell. This isn't the best life. It's just life. And God said if those who love Him, He's got a better place. But you turn on the TV today, you go to the average church, listen, over 60,000 churches will close their doors, is predicted this year. You know why? Because there's a famine of hearing the word of the Lord. People came to the house of God for the bread of the presence, and they got there and there was nothing but crumbs. Everybody wants to say, listen, you be happy, you feel good. Listen, if you read the Bible, all of it doesn't make you happy. And it doesn't make you feel good. And old Vance Havner said, listen, if the cat's getting rubbed the wrong way, the cat needs to turn around. The Bible says in Isaiah, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Isn't this the country that we live in now? Evil is good and good is evil. We don't know anymore if we're a boy or a girl. We don't even know where to go to the bathroom anymore because we're skewed. We've gotten away from God's truth. We've gotten away from what God said was right and wrong. The Bible says this in Isaiah 59. It says, our courts oppose the righteous, and justice is nowhere to be found. Truth stumbles in the streets, and honesty has been outlawed. Sound like a place you know? Listen, it isn't just in our country. It's in the church house too. Paul told Timothy, he said, for a time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. I was preaching at a church recently, and they were looking for a pastor, and they said, listen, we got a survey in the back of the church. You fill it out and tell us what you want in the next pastor. I thought to myself, how foolish to ask in the church, what do you want? And listen, if I asked my children, what would you like for dinner? They'd say tacos and ice cream every single meal. Most of the time, we don't know what we need, but God does. When's the last time we say, God, you show us what we need. God, you bring the person we need. God, you make it plain to us. Somebody said to me, you ought to go preach the truth. I said, churches don't want the truth. They get mad. God doesn't stop there. He says, shut up the heavens so there's no rain. He talks about that drought, but then he says, or command locusts to devour the land. He said, there's going to be a spiritual drought and there's going to be destruction. In the last 10 years, in America alone, we've had 111 natural disasters. It's caused $76 billion worth of damages. It's killed 5,200 people, and this is old statistics. The five biggest disasters in the last 10 years was in 2012, we had a heat wave across America. It killed 123 people and cost our country almost $34 billion. Hurricane Sandy in 2012. Killed 159 people, cost our country $173 billion. Midwest and Southwest tornadoes in 2011 killed 177 people, cost America $10.6 billion. Southeast Ohio Valley, Midwest tornado, same one, moving in a different part of the country, killed 321 people, cost $11.9 million. Hurricane Maria, 2017, 2,981 people killed, cost us $93 billion. Listen, not only are we going through physical and natural disasters in our country, but financial disasters. Listen, you might live in a country that was founded by geniuses or run by idiots when they say the only way to get ourselves out of this $1 trillion debt is to spend more money. Our nation's in trouble. Our communities are in trouble. Our schools are in trouble. When they're teaching our kids, when they're 5 and 6 years old, they're asking them, if you feel like you're something different than what you were born, raise your hand. What's the matter with us? Why do we let that go on? God doesn't stop there. He said, listen, there's going to be droughts. There's going to be disruption. And there's going to be disease. He said, I'll send a pestilence among my people. You realize that right now 45% of the population in the United States of America has at least one chronic disease. It's predicted by the year 2025, which is just around the corner, that over 50% will have at least one chronic illness. Chronic disease kills 7 out of every 10 people in the United States today. And when you look at verse 13 real clearly, God said, listen, when I shut up the heavens, when I command the destruction, when I send the pestilence, God is the one who is trying to wake you and I up this morning saying, listen, look what's happening around you. Look how the world's going. Look at what they're saying. I'm allowing that to happen so that you would wake up. Now listen, I've been talking to you about a lot of bad news, but I got good news this morning. Matter of fact, it's the best news that you can ever imagine to hear. The Bible says in verse 13, when I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or command the locusts to devour the land, or send pestilence among my people. He goes on to say this, if my people who are called by my name, thank goodness he didn't say if Washington, D.C. will turn around and begin to call on me. Thank goodness he didn't say if the Congress or the Senate or some politician would just get his life straightened out. Thank goodness God said, listen, I'm going to put it in the church's hands. I'm going to put it in your hands. If you want to see a dynamic change in the direction of your nation, in the direction of your community, in the direction of your congregation, listen, the onus is upon you. If my people who are called by my name, listen, this morning if you call yourself a follower of Jesus Christ, God's talking to you this morning. And he says, listen, there's several things here. Number one, he says, if you'll humble yourself. You know, I don't want to go into the whole thing, but this is what humility, this is, write it down. This is free. Humility is simply saying, God, I need you. I can't make it on my own. I can't live on my own. I can't change things on my own. I'm just a nobody. You are everything. I desperately need you. And the other side of that, God, I don't need you, is pride. He said, we'll humble ourselves. God, we need you to intervene. God, we need you. We can't do that. We can't make a difference. He said, if they pray, if they will seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, God says, then I will hear from heaven, I forgive their sins, and I will heal their land. Today's Memorial Day, one of those national holidays. We sort of reflect back on what's happened. But right now, our country's in bad shape. If you don't know that, come back to planet Earth. But there's hope this morning. And the hope is there's a God in heaven who still rules and reigns. There's a God in heaven who's in control of everything. There's a God in heaven who can, in the twinkling of an eye, can turn what looks like a disaster into a miracle. And he's willing to do it. He says he wants to. Simply what he says is, if my people who say they're mine will pray, humble themselves and seek my face, turn from their wicked way. That word means to repent. That's what repent means, to turn away, to change direction, to change thinking. I'll heal your land. I'll forgive your sins. And I'll make everything right. 1881, Dr. Semmelweis in Budapest, Hungary, was alarmed at the high number of infant deaths and the deaths of their mother after giving birth. He was a bright man. He began to study, and he began to watch and observe. And he said, what is causing this? And so after a while, he came up with a solution, and he called all the doctors in Hungary to a symposium in Budapest. And he was going to tell them what they could do to save women's lives and to save the lives of babies. And so they all came together. And Dr. Semmelweis said this. He said, listen, though you can't see it with your naked eyes, there are microorganisms out there called germs. Sounds kind of crazy today, doesn't it? And he goes, listen, when you help a woman have a baby and give birth, what you need to do is, after you do that, you need to wash your hands before you go do it again. And if you'll do that, you'll get rid of these things called germs, and more people will live. And you know what all the doctors did? They laughed him out of the room. They said, he's an idiot, he's lost his mind. Like washing your hands after you operate on somebody, that's not going to make a difference. And Dr. Semmelweis was so convinced that he was right that he went mad and killed himself. They said, listen, this is the answer. This is the only hope. But nobody will listen. Like Dr. Semmelweis, I say to you, the only hope for our country is Jesus. The only hope for our country is God's people, which are called by his name, humbling themselves, praying and seeking God's face, turning from the wicked way. That's the only hope. It's not going to be in an election. It's not going to be in a referendum. It's not going to be any other way except for God's people who are called by his name, humble themselves, pray, seek his face, turn from their wicked ways. And God himself said, I will heal your land. I will forgive your sins. I will turn what's upside down, right side up. Here's my challenge to you today. Because I think there's one or two of you who really believe that. I'm going to ask if our pianist would come right now and play for us. And here's what I want to do this morning. If you, this morning, say, I am one of God's, I call myself one of his, I'm going to ask you to get out of your pew this morning and come down and get on this altar, gather around down here. And there, together, we're going to pray and ask God to forgive us Ask God to heal us and ask God to turn things around. Would you step out right this minute and come down and join me? If you don't mind, just reach out and put your hand on somebody near you. We're going to pray corporately. Together as God's people are called by His name. Heavenly Father, we come before You because like Peter, we realize that no one else has the words of life but You. God, there is nowhere else to go. God, we've tried to do things on our own. We've worked hard. We've saved. We plan and we make all kind of progressions, and then we find ourselves empty. God, I'm reminded what You said in Psalm 106, that You gave them what they asked, but You sent a wasting disease. God, our nation has a wasting disease. We've been blessed materially, but we're dry spiritually. And so we're asking this morning, God, we're coming before You because there's no other place to go, and we believe that You are the only hope for our country. God, we ask that You would forgive us. Forgive us for all the lies that we allowed in our land. God, forgive us for killing all those millions and millions of babies we kill. God, forgive us for letting the perversion become so prevalent that it covers our TVs and our communities. God, forgive us. We hate people just because they look different and their skin color might be different than ours. God, that's sin and wrong and evil. Forgive us. God, forgive us that we don't love our neighbors like we love ourselves. God, we're a broken people. God, there's not any of us up here this morning that has anything to brag on, except that they've trusted in You and You alone. And we ask that You would come in our midst this morning. Let Your fire fall among us. Let Your Holy Spirit fill our lives. God, bring about a Pentecost in us. God, pour out Your presence from heaven. Let Your Shekinah glory dwell over us. God, we ask that You would heal us. You would heal our land. You would heal this church and churches across this county. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. While you're making your way back to your seat, I just want to pray for you. As far as I'm concerned, we can go home, but let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, I thank You for these that are here today. God, there's not one person here today that's not here by accident or coincidence, but by divine providence, You put them here on this day at this hour so that You could speak to us. God, I pray that You would go out with them this week. God, I pray that they would be blessed physically. I pray that You would bless them financially. I pray that You would bless them spiritually. and that they would be the light of this community. God, let this church shine like a light on a hill. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. God bless you.